You are listening to the Aging Starts Now podcast, where it's all about responding with confidence to the legal, financial, and personal challenges created by a disability, unexpected illness, or aging in general. Join us weekly as elder law attorneys Barbara McGinnis and Chris Johnson, along with other members of the Johnson McGinnis Elder Care Law and Estate Planning team, talk about the tools, techniques, strategies, and services that will make the elder care journey easier for everyone involved. Get ready, because aging starts now.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of Aging Starts Now. I'm Dana Hinchel, the Outreach Coordinator at Johnson McGinnis Elder Care Law and Estate Planning. Do you need a financial planner? If so, how do you go about choosing one? Today, we are talking about how to choose the right financial planner for you. Joining us for the discussion is Eric Berner, a financial advisor with Rockcastle Wealth Advisors. Welcome, Eric.
Thank you, Dana. I'm glad to be here.
So, should you have a financial planner or a financial advisor or both? I mean, what is the difference?
Well, I think, and this may be biased, but I think everybody should have a financial advisor. Those terms are pretty much interchangeable these days. Although there are a lot of people that are calling themselves advisors, people that work at banks, mortgage folks are calling themselves financial advisors. Usually I think of a financial advisor as somebody that's licensed to sell securities and or give investment advice. And that's the type of financial advisor that I am. And the reason that I think people need them is if you think about people or teams, they all have coaches, right? Tiger Woods, at one time, arguably one of the best golfers of all time. Jack Nicklaus, sorry to be used in the sports initiatives, but those guys are good. But they both have coaches or have had coaches that kind of keep them on track and make sure that they keep their eye on the ball, literally and figuratively. So I think it is a great idea, an excellent idea for people to have some type of financial advisor or planner.
And when you're researching your financial advisor or planner, you know, I see a lot of different labels like CFP or CIMA or CPWA or CFA. Like, what does all of that mean? And why should a certain label matter to you, or does it matter?
Right. Well, there's a lot of alphabet soup in my industry, as there are in others. But CFP, for example, stands for Certified Financial Planner. CPWA stands for Certified Private Wealth Advisor. And anybody that has those designations has gone through some additional training to get certified. My designation is a CDFA. I'm a Certified Divorce Financial Analyst. And so I've gone through additional training to be able to help those in divorcing situations or divorce situations be able to, you know, be a little bit more highly specialized. Is it necessary to have the alphabet soup behind an advisor's name? It's not, but there is a higher degree of training that generally comes along with it. And in many cases, a higher degree of responsibility. Now, with the CFP, which is probably one of the more popular and more known names, people seem to be drawn to that because those advisors have a fiduciary responsibility to act in the best interest of their clients. Myself, as well as most other advisors that I know, whether they have the CFP designation or not, are pretty much held to that same standard of being a fiduciary and acting in the best interest of their clients. So while that alphabet soup is important and can be beneficial, it's not absolutely essential unless somebody, you know, just feels like they want that extra layer of training for the person that's working with them.
Okay. So you had mentioned that you had, and I forgot the exact alphabet, but something about divorce. So is it commonplace to interview a few financial planners to find the one that's right for you and your particular circumstance?
Yeah, I think that's an excellent idea. You know, just like probably people ought to interview different doctors. I mean, you know, there are probably folks out there, doctors as well as advisors, that have different levels of, different perspectives or philosophies. And I myself would not want to be working with an advisor or a doctor that couldn't communicate with me in a way that I could understand, for example, or who might have a philosophy that just doesn't resonate with me. So I think it's an excellent idea to, you know, check with an advisor, two or three. You don't want to spend all your time doing that. And advisor's time is valuable as well. But absolutely. I mean, you're talking about somebody that potentially is helping you manage your nest egg, your life savings, and helping you plan for the longest vacation of your life, which is your retirement. And you want somebody that you know, that you like, and that you trust. And by all means, do the due diligence to make sure that you get that person.
So other than just kind of generally vibing with that person, right, what kind of questions should you ask when comparing planners?
Well, I'm going to flip the script on you just a little bit, Dana. I'm not sure that I'm as concerned about the questions that I would ask the financial advisor, although that is important. I think what's more important are what the financial advisor questions asking of me. In other words, are they interested in who I am, what my goals are, who my family is, you know, my life, my interests? I want somebody that's interested and invested in me. And so I want them to be asking a bunch of questions about who I am so I can kind of gauge, you know, where their interest lies. I have been in rooms with advisors who were speaking with prospects, whether it was more formally or informally, socially. And I have seen a lot of self-promotion and advisors talking about themselves and what they can do and, you know, what their track record is and what their returns have been. And all that's well and good, but it really doesn't mean anything if that advisor is not invested in the client. And then we can talk about the questions to ask of the advisor and, you know, if their strategies or, you know, what do they have certain affinity for international investments versus domestic or vice versa. But I'm really more concerned about the questions that the advisor would ask the potential client as opposed to the reverse. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. And is it common to ask for references?
Do you mean like if you were interviewing me as an advisor and asking me for references of people that I've worked with, that type of reference?
Yes.
So I wouldn't say that it's common. I've been doing this for a number of years, and I've really never had anybody ask that question. I'm certainly not opposed to it, but much like lawyers, we have kind of a confidential relationship with our clients, and I really would not even let somebody know that you were a client of mine unless I had your permission. So most of the time, it kind of happens in reverse. Most of the time, people have gotten referrals about the advisors that they use, and they pursue with that versus asking an advisor for references, although I wouldn't take that off the table just because of that.
Cool. That makes sense. And if somebody has a relatively large estate, I mean, is it wise to work with two different advisors so all of your eggs aren't in one basket, or is that kind of, do you need to stick with one person?
You know, I think the answer to that is as individual as the person that's involved. A good advisor is not going to have all of your eggs in one basket anyway. They're going to have your investments and your portfolio diversified over a lot of different asset classes and different types of allocations. I do, however, have clients who have other advisors, some who are family, for example. Some, if I've got married couples, I may have worked with the husband before they got married, and another advisor worked with the wife, and they were just comfortable with that setup. And I certainly can coexist with those other advisors. And I think that's not uncommon, but I don't know if it's absolutely necessary to have different sets of advisors. Again, if that's what works for you as a client, then that's what you should do.
Okay. And once you've kind of picked an advisor, how do you know that you've made the right choice, that they're really working for you?
So I think my answer to that question would be, do they keep in touch? Do they insist upon meeting with you on some type of a regular schedule? Are they taking a holistic view of your situation? Do they offer and explain alternative solutions to assist you in accomplishing your goals? Do they talk to you in terms that you can understand? You know, there's a lot of jargon in this industry, as there are in others. And I try to do a good job of not speaking in jargon, but I know that I fall into that sometimes. And I think, again, and this is a phrase I use quite frequently, is if I were sitting in your chair and looking at me or wanting to know about me, I'd want somebody that can explain to me in terms that I can understand without giving me so much that I'm overwhelmed. And just making sure that they are in touch with me on some kind of a regular schedule, whether it's annually or semi-annually or even quarterly, so that we can touch base, because life happens, things change, relationships change, and all of those have dollar signs assigned to them. And my financial advisor would need to know and what that is. And if they're working for me, they're going to be in touch with me to make sure that we have that line of communication open.
That's right. Well, thank you, Eric. I think all of these are great points, and I'm sure that it's going to be pretty helpful for our audience. Is there anything else you want to add before we wrap it up today?
I think you did a great job in asking questions. If I were going to sit down and set up some kind of a questionnaire on how to go about finding a financial advisor, I probably would have come up with the exact questions that you did.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much. Johnson McGinnis Elder Care Law and Estate Planning is a life care planning law firm helping families respond to the legal and financial challenges caused by chronic illness or disability of an elderly loved one. Join us next week for another episode of Aging Starts Now.
Thank you for listening to the Aging Starts Now podcast. For more information about today's show, visit tn-elderlaw.com, click on the free resources tab, and then click on Aging Starts Now. You'll find the show notes there. And while you're at it, why not check out all the free resources available at tn-elderlaw.com? Document downloads, the Johnson McGinnis blog, educational videos, informative articles, helpful links, a TV show, and more. It's all there, free for the taking. If you enjoy listening to the Aging Starts Now podcast, please subscribe, rate the show, or leave us a review. It's easy to do on whatever app you use to listen. We would love your feedback on the show. Aging Starts Now. We'll be back next week with more candid discussions about the challenges created by aging, disability, and unexpected illness.